Yeah. seems like the snow's good for grass. It gets greener when it goes away. All hearts and minds clear. All right, let's turn to the book of Micah, chapter 5. Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. One of those little books stuck away. We don't read a whole lot. Don't hear a lot preached. But I want to share a verse this morning with you out of Micah 5, verse 2. You would stand with me. Honor of God's word. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting, from eternity past to eternity future. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for all your mercy and grace. Lord, we just thank you for being able to be together. Thank you, Lord, for being able to preach a message this morning about the hope that come through Bethlehem. Lord, we thank you that we have hope today. And Lord, that if we didn't have hope, what a miserable, miserable time and place this would be. Father, thank you for that hope. Lord, I ask you this morning you'd touch me and be with me. Forgive me, cleanse me. God, I pray that you illuminate my thinking. I ask you, Lord, for the anointing afresh and anew. Lord, you'd bless this service, meet every need we have. In Jesus' name I pray and ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share a message with you this morning. Jesus in the shadows of Bethlehem. Jesus in the shadows of Bethlehem. We're going to look at some shadows of Bethlehem this morning, and want to talk about this little place that says here in this that though they be little among the thousands of Judah, but out of thee is going to come the one. And I'm so thankful of that one. And some time ago, there was a pastor was at a nursing home and had a service and was asked at the nursing home all the residents to recount the most memorable Christmas they ever had, or the most memory they have of Christmas. And every one of them spoke of in their childhood. Every one of them, not any in there had any of the last 20, 30, 40, what? They was all when they were young, and that was all when they were children. And thinking along those lines this morning, you know why we as adults don't enjoy Christmas like children do? I guess because we had to pay for it, right? What if we understood with the expectations and the thoughts of Christmas that children does? They have got expectations of that Christmas tree being full of presents on Christmas morning. And they believe the magic that is involved in Christmas. They believe of all the things in the Bible stories, and they take them for real. And when you read them, their eyes get big. And when you read about the baby and all of the animals and the nativity scenes, and I think as adults we lost that.
Yeah, we are.
What would it take this Christmas to make a memory for you? What would it take this Christmas to be the most memorable? To be that Christmas. What is it you're asking for this Christmas? Remember a little bit of time ago, I said, what do you want for Christmas? Let's not forget to keep the miracles in Christmas. See, so often we get so beat down and we lose sight of the miracles. When something we've prayed for years and years and years don't look like it's ever going to happen. And we lose sight of some of the things that and what children teach us about Christmas. Look at their eyes. Look at their eyes when they see the nativity and see the Christmas plays. Look at their eyes when they see Santa Claus. Look at their eyes. And of course, I have to admit, in this season, I changed my radio station to 98.5. I just love Christmas. And this morning, I've heard a song, and I've heard it, and heard it, and heard it. But I don't know, as I was coming to church, I came by myself, Rhonda and Joanne brought the kids, and I was just driving, and that song, Christmas Through Your Eyes. Speaking of a little child, and having a little child, and seeing, helping to see Christmas through your eyes. And in that song, and one of the verses is that, I see the rain, but you see the rainbow. Boy, the Lord spoke to me during that secular Christmas song. Spoke to my heart, and so often I see the rain instead of looking for the rainbow.
Amen.
I look at the bad things, and I dig the bad things out instead of looking for the silver lining in the clouds. And I want to encourage you, and it don't look like I'm going to get through this message very much. But the Lord, and I want to encourage you, let's look at this Christmas and go through this, what time we have of this season, and look at it through the eyes of children. Jesus said, unless you come as one of these, you'll not see the end of the kingdom of heaven. Unless we humble ourselves and become like a little child. And boy, we can learn a lot of lessons from children.
Amen.
We have allowed our lives to get so complicated. See, instead of seeing the great gifts on Christmas morning, we see the bills coming in.
Amen.
Amen. See, kids know how to stop and make memories. Just this week, made memories with the kids that probably won't ever. We went out and built a snowman. And long about Wednesday, he started leaning back. Maverick would run out and point at that snowman, and they called him. I took my co-op cap off and put it on the cap. We made a farmer. We made a redneck. And Maverick pointed out, and he said, T, lean back. See, they know how to make memories when you're snowed in. And that is what my mama used to make it special when it snowed in. She'd make me snow cream. I don't know how many of you eat snow cream, but boy, that's the best stuff when I was a little boy that you ever eat. See, they see the magic. They believe the unbelievable. And I'm afraid we've lost the believing in the unbelievable. The shepherds came, and when the angels came to them, see that they believed in a miracle. They hustled off to Bethlehem to see the unbelievable. And so much in our lives that we miss believing the unbelievable. If we can't feel it, can't taste it, if we can't see it, And Christmas is all about looking for the miracle. What a miracle Christmas was.
Amen.
Not only that a virgin gets mad before I come in here. She told me that a professor in the college said that God was a sexual predator because he impregnated Mary without her saying it's okay. My face turned red when she told me that. Which that's a lie, because she said, let it be done unto your servant whatever you will.
Amen.
She was told what was going. I tell you, that stuff makes me mad and gets me my righteous indignation fired up. And he's God of the universe. He's still in charge. He's still in control. And I want him to do a miracle in my life. How about that?
Amen.
And he don't have to have my permission either.
That's right.
Amen. Lord, hell, I'm going to try to get that off my mind and get on. See, and the shepherds not only believed, this is what I don't know. You don't have to bear with me. This mess ain't going nowhere near like I thought. They didn't only believe, but they got involved in it.
Amen. Yeah.
See, they wanted to be part of it.
Yeah.
And then he said, let it be known what the angel showed and tell you. And they said, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing. Let's get to be part of it. This year, let's get to be part of it. Let's get involved in the miraculous work. You know the one part that a miracle may be waiting for? Now put your seatbelt on. It's you. You may be, and me may be the avenue God is waiting to use to bring a miracle to somebody's life.
Amen.
Woo! That's a different twist on it, isn't it? We may be the miracle. All we've got to do is like the shepherds and say, let us go. Let I'm going to be part of it.
Amen.
What about the king, the wise men? They believed and was looking for the King of Kings. They was looking for the Messiah. When they rolled into town, they became involved. Two days before Thanksgiving in 2016, my mom passed away. And what a thought. Could you imagine spending the first Christmas in heaven with Jesus? Christmas here won't hold a lot. Amen. But you know what? We can spend it with him right here. We can enjoy all the goodness and all of his presence that we want. We can spend it. And Micah starts with the tales of the Christmas story started way before the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. We must got started early, haven't we? I've got plenty. I'm doing my introductions. It ain't nowhere near 12:30 yet. See, we'll find Jesus in the shadows of ancient Bethlehem. Back before Bethlehem was even known as Bethlehem. And Micah here shows that it was just not so happening that he wound up in Bethlehem. Wow, what a coincidence. He tells here where the Christ to be born. If you look in Matthew chapter 2, when the wise men come into town, this passage is used to prove to them where the Messiah is going to be born. And Micah lets us know that the Christmas story is in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And throughout all, The Old Testament, the shadows are cast toward Bethlehem to be the birth of the Messiah, the birthplace. A pastor told of his neighbor one time that their neighbor put the Christmas lights on. Christmas came and went, and along January, right on through, every night the Christmas lights was on. All the way to the 1st of February, Christmas lights on every night. Got up to the middle of February, and the pastor thought to himself, or said to his family, well, if I was too lazy to take my Christmas lights down, I'd at least turn them off at night. They kept burning on up in March. Then one day there's a sign went out in the front yard that said, welcome home, Jimmy. Jimmy was coming in for the big man. See, it wasn't going to be Christmas till Jimmy showed up.
Amen.
No matter, left the lights on, no matter what anybody said. Christmas was when Jimmy showed up. See, it's the same way in what Micah's talking about. Christmas is when Jesus showed up. That's what makes Christmas. That's what puts the miracle in Christmas. That's what puts the smile in Christmas. That's what puts the looking forward to is when we put Jesus right in the middle of it.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. See, in the shadows of Benjamin, Bethlehem. Before Bethlehem was even a town, as we know, Genesis chapter 35, verse 16, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. What a prophetic situation. No one had a clue what this meant of the prophecy of Jesus Christ. Just this little story, and we glide right through it, but how prophetic that it is that before Bethlehem was a town, this shadow was cast over, and Rachel here passed away giving birth to Benjamin. And she had this difficulty, and she called him Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. And in her last breath, she said, name him the son of my sorrow, because it's because of him and I've gone through all this. And then, after she passed away, Jacob said, we're going to call him Benjamin. And the name Benjamin means son of my right hand. Or very dear to me. Little did either one know the prophetic statements they made. Son of my sorrow. Jesus will be born, the son of sorrows. Isaiah 53:3 said, he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That's Jesus. That's the human side. That was his flesh. He's the man of sorrows. Way back when Rachel passed away and she quoted these prophetic words, that here in Bethlehem will be born the man of sorrows. Will be born the one acquainted with grief. Will be the one that will bear our sins. Be the one that will have a crown of thorns on his head. That will be nailed to the cross. That will not have a place to lay his head, as he said in Scripture. But then Jacob comes on. I'm going through the whole list like I do with the kids. But he says, a son of my right hand. Mark 16:19 says, and after Jesus said these things, He was received into heaven and sat on the right hand of God.
Amen.
Philippians 2:9 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above all names."
Amen.
You want to talk about some Bible prophecy? You want to talk about some miracles in Christmas? Glory, hallelujah. Also, in the shadows of David's Bethlehem. In Luke 2:11, the Bible said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." It's David's hometown, Bethlehem. It said a long time ago that he'd be born in this town. See, David became an unexpected king. Even when the prophet came to, the Lord told him to go to Jesse's house. When he came and he looked on Eli, and he said he was tall, he was handsome, big, robust guy. He said, "This is the king right here." And God said, "Don't look upon his stature or his countenance, or on the height of his stature. Because man looks on the outward appearance, but I look on the heart."
Amen.
He said, "Don't, no, that ain't your king." And he went through all of the boys. He came down, there wasn't no more in the house. And he said, "Don't you have any more?" Everyone passed through. God said, "Huh? Huh? Huh?" He says, "Is this all you got?" He said, "Oh yeah, I've got eight." The rest of the boys said, "I can hear a sneer go through the house. Hey, he's out eating sheep." He said, "We're not going to eat till you bring him in." David come through the door. God told the prophet, "Stand up." That's him. There's a king in the house. The king has just showed up. You stand up when he comes in the house. Lord, see, God looked on his heart. God knew who he was. Such an unexpected king. Jesus was the unexpected Savior of the world. And they had no idea who it was. And they thought he was out there in left field somewhere. Boy, what a prophetic. The shadow of David cast upon him. Glory, hallelujah. See, David, the prophecies tell that God promised David that they would not fail to be a king set upon the throne forever out of his lineage. David believed it. And Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. He's going to set that kingdom up one day that'll never
end.
You're talking about a prophecy.
Woo!
Praise the Lord. Also, Micah, in the shadows of Micah's Bethlehem, 7 centuries before Christ was born, God pinpointed Bethlehem as the birthplace. Wow. Insignificant, out of the way, little town of Bethlehem, God chose it to bring the Messiah of the universe into being in that town. You would think it would be a big town. You definitely think it would be big enough to have a hotel to keep all the people in. What does that say about God? There is no insignificance with God. We look at ourselves. We are probably, I'll go out on a limb, except for a few cases, most times we're our biggest critics. Amen. I've got less confidence in me than anybody else has got in. I'm my biggest critic. And we see ourselves as insignificant, out of the way. But look what God done with 12 fishermen, tax collectors, ragtag, zealots from the world. Look what the like Jay said this morning in Sunday school class, the shepherds was the first one to get the news. I read years ago that they wouldn't even take shepherds' testimony in court law. They was the worst of the worst. That's who got the gospel first.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He said, I ain't come to call the righteous. I've come to call the sick. The ones that need me. Praise the Lord. See, when we get to thinking that we are nothing, that's when God can use you the best. And I know I've said it, but I've heard that Moses spent 40 years finding out he was somebody in the courts of Pharaoh, spent the next 40 years in the wilderness finding out he was a nobody, and spent the last 40 years when he was leading the children of Israel finding out what God can do with somebody that knows and realizes they're a nobody. Amen. That way God gets all the credit. God gets all the glory. Amen. See, we'll find Jesus in the shadows of the manger for those that's willing to seek him. There was a lot of people in Bethlehem at his birth. Very few saw him. You know who saw him? The ones looking. When he walked up on the water, when the disciples was out on the Sea of Galilee, the Bible said it says he was walking on by until they followed him. When he walked on the road to Emmaus, they were turning off, and he was going on until they asked him to come in. He will not intrude on your life. He will not make you accept him. He will not come in to your presence and force himself upon you. But I'm telling you what, if you'll open up the doors and you'll invite him in and you'll let me say, preacher, I got saved years ago, I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm just taking for granted we are saved. I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about letting him take up residence in our life and being in full communion day in and day out and allow him to direct our lives and allow him to commune with us. Allow him to be the God that he wants to be. There's a big difference in saying, Lord, forgive me, come into my heart and make me a Christian and take me to heaven than saying, God, here's my life. Take me and use me to your glory and your honor.
Amen.
Amen. There's a big difference in those statements. We can be saved, but it's a different thing to be a disciple.
Amen.
See, we can find him in the madness of the season. I done a bad thing the other day. I ventured out in some of these shopping centers. Woo! You better have your life insurance paid out. Two guys opted out of going Christmas shopping with their wives and went and got a boat and went out in the lake. Well, storm come up, the boat capsized. Them hanging on to the side of the boat and got rowed back in with their hands and swam, got back to shore. One of them said it sure beats Christmas shopping, don't it? See, in the middle of all of this in Bethlehem, a time of inconvenience, all the travel, everybody had to go back to their hometown. They're going to be taxed. I don't know about you, but I despise taxes. I'm not anti-government. I'm not anti-anything.
Well, I better leave it alone.
Not the time and place. A time of crowds, a time of busyness, a time of disappointments, no rooms to be had. Just a busy, just like go to John City after a while. It would be the same deal. It would be just like being in Bethlehem. Everybody's wanting what little money you got. Hustle and bustle. But in the midst of all of that, be hindered if we truly seek Him and look for Him. All of that going on did not hinder Jesus Christ from being born. He was born. This is sure, it don't matter what went on, he showed up. We can find Him if we're willing to recognize Him. The shepherds was willing to recognize Him as the Messiah. The wise men wanted to recognize Him as King. And only us that pause a little while and want to recognize Him as Lord and Savior, the Prince of Peace. Let me ask you, do you need peace in your life this year? So often, I see a lot of people and talk to a lot of people. I see so much. I could look in people's eyes. There was a couple I talked to just here not too long ago. When the minute I seen them, I seen the turmoil, the trouble, the problems. I thought, last time I'd seen them, they were so happy. This time I thought, man, something bad. Before I ever even talked to them, I thought, wow. There's so many people that's not peace of God in their hearts.
Amen.
I'm not saying you're lost if you don't have the peace of God in your heart. I'm saying we don't look. We get caught up in the hustle and the bustle and the taxes and the everything and the politics and all of this stuff. And it just gets us so overwhelmed. And I'm going to invite you, and probably I'll mention it at the end of the service in another hour. But if we could just take a break from Main Street Bethlehem and slip off one of the little corner roads, get down the back and say, the little path that the shepherds, get down to that stable, get down and lay before the God of the universe. The Prince of Peace. That even though we are in the worst thing that we have ever been involved in, the worst thing has happened to us that has ever happened. I went through just recently the worst thing I've ever gone through. He was still with me.
Amen.
Right. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. Glory, hallelujah. In the midst of the wilderness, he still prepares a table, Brother G.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. There's a children's play program at school, and at this program, they had a light that would turn on and shine and light the whole stage up. Was symbolic of Jesus. Well, the stagehand messed up and turned the light off. And one of the kids said, "Hey, you switched off Jesus." I wonder how many of us switched Jesus off. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about have we switched Him off? I've got this. Let me tell you, can I give you a personal testimony? Every time I got this, I cut a problem back. We'll find Jesus in the shadow that Bethlehem cast. Something, if you notice, and I want you to know, everybody is content with leaving Jesus in the manger. We want Him in the manger. We want Him as that beautiful little baby Jesus. Everybody's excited with us leaving right there in the manger. And go But Bethlehem was just a ribbon on the wrapping of the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind. He's not a little baby in a manger. He was. It came that way. But he's now Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is a risen Savior that has come out and defeated death, hell, and the grave, and came out of that grave on the third day, and is now ascended into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Glory, hallelujah. And I tell you what, Brother Jim, when he comes back to give me, I'm not looking for a little baby. I'm looking for him coming in the clouds of glory. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. See, Christmas is not a celebration of that little baby, it's a celebration of the second baby. Even his name, Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us, means Savior, salvation. Not gussy little Christmas presents. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad of that?
Amen.
See, even the wise man's perfume foreshadowed the perfume that would be put on his body when he died for our sins. Jesus was born to die for us. That was the reason of his birth. A merchant in London has 6-inch nails in his cash register. Customers will say, "What does these nails mean?" He responds, "It reminds me of the great price that was paid for me and how little I had to do with it." He was bruised. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. By his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
And I hate to bust your bubble, but we didn't have a thing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They wasn't some group that big conglomeration that got to put this thing together. It was the God of the universe spoken in the moon. His son said, "I'll go." Glory, hallelujah. The Christmas play, church I grew up in, had it every year. And it was, I think Gary said he'd done it one time somewhere. I don't know if it's here or not. The Christmas Guest. Conrad, maybe he did, somebody else. But Conrad had a dream, and the Lord said that today I'll come and visit you. In this play and in this story, he prepared everything he could. And I meant a poem, I meant to get it. Done everything he could, waiting for Jesus to show up. There was a little boy showed up, didn't have shoes, and was lost. Conrad took him in, put shoes on his feet, fed him, sent him down. There's another woman come in, was having trouble. Where it was, three people came in. He met their needs, whatever they needed, and sent them on their way. That night he said, Lord, I waited for you all day long. You said you was coming. I've waited. You never showed up." The Lord said, "Oh, yes, I did. Three times I come to your door. You opened the door and you treated me. You took me in and met my needs."
Amen.
"Oh, yeah. Yeah, I showed up and you done what you were supposed to do."
Amen.
You know, look, what's that miracle? Fulfill it this year. See, this would be a good time to be in the presence, in the shadow of his presence this year. Allow him to to use us. And off the beaten path, off all the turmoil and the trouble, is the Prince of Peace.